Shalom Mishpacha, Shalom family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, that the middle wall of separation, praise God, is finally coming down, and the ancient Jewish anointing is pouring into the new covenant Gentile Christian anointing to form one new man. He has a name. This one new man is, or one new humanity is, Yeshua, the body of Messiah. And finally, we're figuring it out, that Gentile Christians without Jewish believers are incomplete. Jewish believers in Jesus without Gentile believers in Jesus are incomplete. God made us dependent on each other. The devil has put that middle wall of separation between us. But when the two come together, this is what Paul says, and he's beside himself when he says it in Romans 11. He says, look, you Gentile Christians, if you think it was a blessing when the Jewish people rejected their Messiah so that the Gentiles could be grafted into the Jewish olive tree, how much greater blessing when the Jewish people receive their Messiah. Did you get that? Greater blessing. That greater blessing is the full body of Messiah coming together. Paul goes on to say, this coming together when Jewish believers are grafted back into their own olive tree, it's going to cause life from the dead. It's a resurrection power. My guest, David Cordo, from Kingston, New York, he should have died many times, but God spared him for such a moment as this. And God has been giving him prophetic words and dreams, and angels are showing up in his meeting about what's about ready to happen. And as you understand what happened to him, David has such a presence of God upon him that it's a transferable anointing. You're going to start doing what he's doing. David, tell me about that dream that you had with, really, it was a confrontation with the devil. Tell me about it.
Yes, God speaks to me a lot in dreams and visions. I have many, many. And in this dream, I was in like a dungeon, and there were people chained to poles. There was people chained to the walls. And then there was a keeper of the dungeon, which I knew represented the devil. And he was a little ugly-looking man, all stooped over. And I would speak to the people. I'd point at them and say, I command you to be released, and they'd still be bound. And I'd say, I command you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would not receive it. And suddenly in the dream, three men to my left walked in. They were in suits, ties. And, you know, first thing I thought, some kind of preacher. They walked in. And then one of them placed something in my hand, and I placed it in the hand of the keeper of the prison. And when I did that, suddenly I had the anointing I needed, and I would speak to them for the chains to fall off, and instantly the chains would fall off. I'd speak, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and begin to speak in other tongues. And then I looked back at the three men, still thinking they're men, and suddenly they walked out through the wall, and I realized they were not men. And God spoke to me that two of them were warring angels that would be with me the rest of my life. And personally, I feel the third one was the Lord himself, just like with Abraham. And from that point on, I begin to have these warring angels that stay with me all the time now. And many people in many parts of the world have seen them. And my wife has seen them. She sees actually more angels than I do.
Actually, you told me that you, in a service sometimes, you can actually feel them. They either brush aside you or they touch your arm. That's got to be pretty exciting, recognizing you're not in there by yourself.
Yes, many times I'll be have my hands up to worship, and they'll actually grab me right just below the wrist area and hold both sides like that. And I've had times they'll touch me, and there's times I've looked out and actually seen them in the meetings. And we have a lot of angels, because Psalm 103, verse 20 says, the angels of God hearken to the voice of his word, that when we speak the word of God in faith, believing, they'll show up. I tell people, said that when we speak the word of God, believing, we're commissioning angels. I don't pray to angels. I don't worship angels. But yet I speak the word of God, believing, knowing those ministering spirits then have a legal right to go forth and do the work of God.
Well, you know what I also think is fascinating is many times you'll have a dream, and in the dream, angels will tell you what's going to happen in your meeting and what you should talk about. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes. I've had angels. I'll use one example. One time appeared to me in a dream, and again, he was standing there, and he was in like a suit, but yet he was about 4 feet off the floor and in the dream, and he spoke to me. But I knew somehow there was an angel, but he spoke first person, just like God was speaking, which since then I've found scriptures that do that also. But he said, the trouble with my church, the problem with my church is this. He said, I abide in them, but they don't abide in me. And then instantly, in the vision, in the dream, I went into a vision. It's like I went around the entire world at high speed. I seen all these churches weak and anemic, no power. And when I woke up, I went right into the book of John, because I always filter through the Word of God. And it's right in there. He said, you know, if you abide in me, I abide in you. My Word abides in you. You ask what you will, it shall be done. How many people that he abides in them, but they've not submitted themselves to him. And I preached that to the church that next Sunday, and the power of God just hit the place. And so God does have angels appear to me.
You told me in your church, no one has died from illness?
Never. No, I pastored for 22 years before I turned it over to my oldest son, David II, the senior pastor now. And in all that time, and plus it hadn't happened with him either.
Now, what do you attribute that to?
Because my revelation of the Word of God, my faith in healing, Jesus said the thief, talking about Satan, came to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said, I have come that he may have life and life more abundantly.
Okay, what do you say to someone that all of a sudden has gotten up with a dread disease, a cancer, Lou Gehrig's disease, and they say, well, I don't know what God's trying to show me by this. What would you say?
I tell them God wants to heal you. Because Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that he came to give us a life and life more abundantly. And so I refuse to accept. You know, a lot of people say, you know, and a statement I like to use is, faith cannot exist where the will of God is not known. If a person's questioning, said that, hey, should God heal? Will God heal me? Is it his will? The chance of getting healed is very slim.
All right, what if they know the truth? They know the word. They know that Jesus died for their illness as much as he died for their sins. They know this, but they're still plagued by fear that, yeah, Jesus did that. Jesus does it for other people, but I'm not sure it's going to happen for me. And they're fearful. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd share the same scripture I just used, and there's many other scriptures, and I try to convince them that it is his will to heal them. Because, you know, the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die, then after that, the judgment. You know, there's an appointment. And personally, I do not believe that God takes his children home with cancer. I just don't accept it. Because I don't accept it, they get healed. If I was questioning my own heart, well, maybe it's the will of God, then I could not pray in faith. And we've had several over the years get cancer right here in our assembly, my son now pastors, but they all got healed.
Oh, okay, you had a prophecy, and ever since that prophecy, the healing anointing has been getting even stronger. What was that prophetic word?
Yes, a prophet came through, his name was Gary Ellis, and was preaching for us here. And my son, David II, and I was just getting ready to go to Vietnam. It was going to be his first trip to Asia. And we were getting ready to go, and the prophet prophesied to me some things about my ministry and said that it would totally change. In fact, God showed him in the office, he was praying that I would be like 10 stakes driving down, that I'd be training and sending forth ministers with this anointing. But he said, when you go into Vietnam this time, you worked in one area, but your anointing level is going to totally change. Actually, your offices will change.
Now, what change did you see when you went there?
Okay, my son and I was at the Hong Kong airport waiting to fly from Hong Kong to Vietnam. And this huge angel walked up behind me. I did not see him, but it was like a huge furnace. I mean, it felt like it was 20 foot wide. And I realized that something happened. I think it's a commissioned angel. When I went into Vietnam that trip, I begin to see tumors disappear in my hands. And since then, that was the first, well, I'd seen a couple before that, but the first major time over there. And since then, I've seen many, many tumors and cancer disappear in my hands, goiters disappear in my hands. And my ministry totally changed.
Now, let me ask you this. We were looking for something to cause people to have a transfer of anointing, to move in that similar anointing as you, for people that are fighting sickness themselves to get healed, for people that know people that are fighting disease to give a CD to it. And you suggested that the most recent time you spoke, that would be the message. Why did you say, what happened at that time?
Well, it was a very powerful move of God's Spirit, and at the end of it, many people were being healed, I guess around 9-year-old boy, I'm guessing his age. His left ear was deaf, it popped open. Other people being healed of arthritis. We pray for people that were barren that I expect to get reports about children.
Have you prayed for many women that are barren that have actually then gotten reports that they had children?
Oh, many. And that's one of the things that's so common in my wife and I's ministry.
Listen, just for you said it's highly unusual for someone with arthritis not to be healed. Do you realize almost every person you're talking to has arthritis?
Right, and God will heal it in a moment.
Do you know Catherine Coleman used to say the same thing? And one day a doctor confronted her and said, you know, there really is not a cure for arthritis. Why do you almost treat it lightly? And it's just poof. It disappears. Well, Mishpocha, I urge you to get this CD. Now, is there something that you're watching beyond its supernatural television, our TV show? Beyond that, is there something you're watching on TV that would be better than listening you and your entire family to this CD? It's like if you could have gone to the service where David was speaking, the same results would have occurred with you. I mean, half the people instantly get miracles, and then some like 40%, the reports come in, gradually they get their miracles. I mean, that's 90%. What could be better? I think you order 10 or 20 of these CDs for a donation of $15 each. Order Healing today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.